Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
The following is brought to you by the Social Suplex Podcast Network.
This is All Things Elite. Welcome back to All Things Elite. Load up the pod, man, it's on when we speak. Rich right here, let me warm it up for Austin and Floyd. Couldn't be no one but the boys. When it come to All Things Elite from the fan perspective, swear, man, it ain't no question. Hear from them first. Swear, man, they putting in the work. No, they had to get me for the verse. Social Suplex Network Zone. I was at a time in your headphones. Austin and Floyd on the microphone. Backing out on a rant, getting in the zone. Pulling up the show, giving 7 stars, you already know. Who else could it be but the show with the proclivity for a positivity? I'm gone.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the 292nd episode of Social Suplex's podcast about AEW with a proclivity for positivity. Welcome to All Things Elite. My name is Austin Sumwitz. I am the host of this lovely show. Joining with me, as always, is my good buddy and friend, Mr. Floyd Johnson Jr. My man, how are you doing?
I'm in a great mood. This week has been amazing for me. Just little quick things, and then we'll get to the show. So I'm a big fan of the show Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., right? You've heard of it. Okay. Starring Clark Gregg as Phil Coulson and Chloe Bennett as Daisy Johnson, a.k.a. Sky. Well, or then Quake. Yeah, she had a lot of fucking names on that show. In June or May, I guess June or May, I went to a con in Dallas, and I met a bunch of people. And I came home and told my wife that I was done with comic conventions for a while. I don't know if any of you that are listening do a lot of convention tours. It's expensive. And you pay to get in, you pay for the photo, you pay for the auto, you pay for everything. And it's just like, once you get one person, you get one other. Usually when I go to a con, I think the lowest I'd ever spent on a convention, I'm like all in, was like $1,500. It's a very expensive hobby to have. So I'm going to Japan later this year, next year. So I told my wife, I'm done with cons. There is one exception. And she was like, okay. I was like, I want to tell you this, because if this person comes anywhere in the area I'm going, I don't care how much it costs or whatever. And she was like, who is it? So I pulled up the phone and I was like, her name is Chloe Bennett. She played Daisy and Sky on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I'm in love with her. I think she's so great. I think she's amazing. She was actually on the season 3 of Dave. She has a show on Hulu called Chinatown, whatever. I was like, I'll meet her. I was like, she doesn't really do cons, because the last time she had done a con, she did Dragon Con in Atlanta a week or two ago, and she hadn't done anything since Philly last year. So I'm pretty safe. I'll make it to Japan without her coming to town. So I'm sitting at work on Sunday watching the games like I do, and my friend just pop, because I had unfollowed a lot of the convention stuff because I'm not trying to be, you know, tempted, right? Pops up in my messenger from my friend, Clark Gregg, Chloe Bennett, what's called SpaceCon San Antonio, at the end of October. This was my reply to my friend that told me this news I've been waiting literally years for. Fuck you. I'm like, now when I need to be saving as much money as I can for Japan, now it happens. And I was like, yeah, I'll be there. And I went to my wife, and I always tell people, wife's the greatest. Wife is the greatest. I found a person that just gets me. And I was like, you know the person I told you about that was the one exception to my con rule? And she's like, mm-hmm. yep. It's like, she's going to be in San Antonio. She's like, so you're going. Because she has been my holy grail for like 3-4 years. Because she used to do these things all the time, but this was before I was going to them. So I thought I'd missed my window. Because that does happen with some people. Jason Momoa was doing like every fucking con when he first got Aquaman. And now he's so famous he didn't do any of them because he's always right. working. So I thought I'd missed my window. She knew. There was no hesitation. There was no whether I could afford it. There was no nothing.
Didn't matter.
It did not matter to my wife. You're going. So, yeah. So, we're trying to do it as cheaply as possible because, again, Japan, I was like, I told myself the only way I can do it is if I only meet those two people. Apparently, they don't do a lot of dual photo ops. So, the dual photo op they'll be doing is very rare. So, I got my ticket. I got my tickets to see them and to get the autos with them. Wife's going to drive down with me Saturday night for us to get there Sunday, do the con, and then drive back because she's a fucking legend. If I don't say that enough about her, she is, yeah. So she gets me. So that was great. Then I found out, what tickets I had for All Out. Jackie hadn't told me what tickets we got that she got us or whatever. And we're going to be third row on the same guy on the camera for All Out. So we're going to be third row for FTR versus Christian and Cope. So, thank you, Jackie. You're fucking amazing for doing that.
Hell yeah.
And so, yeah, I was having a great fucking week. And then other stuff happened, which I'm not going to talk about. Not even going to. But, yeah, great fucking week. I've had a great fucking week. And then Dynamite was killer. And it's funny. It's funny. Dynamite, at one point, was getting higher ratings and having higher attendance. And not putting on this level of show. I feel like
this year,
I'm talking February to now, has been the best run of Dynamites.
It's been a good stretch.
In AEW. It's been fun to talk about every week. If something happens every week, it leads perfectly to the pay-per-views. It's been amazing. And our ratings aren't what they used to be. And, you know, and maybe it's Brawl Out. Maybe it's the economy. Maybe it's whatever. I don't know. I am not. But I just say this. If you listen to this show, and you listen to One Nation Radio, you listen to Imp's AEW Adventure, you listen to, and you care about AEW, tell your friends how good it is right now. And I know there is a considerable number of people watching on Max. I literally have my Max on every week, even though I watch it on TV or whatever, because I want the extra view or whatever. So, you know, it makes me feel better, you know, and I doubt it affects anything. But tell your friends, tell your people, the people that have left, the Laps fans, you know, the people that have like, oh, man, CM Punk left. This, you know, and I get it. I get it. When your favorites leave a company, it's hard to stay with it sometimes. I was, you know, or I was a TNA guy. I was an Impact guy. And Hogan and Bischoff came in, and some of my favorite wrestlers got kind of downcycled. I checked out. So I am not above what anyone's done. I'm just saying, tell your friends, tell your family, tell everybody that likes pro wrestling to check out the show. I mean, I don't know if that'll make any difference. But it's been so good recently. And, like, for me, who is a person that does watch and love both programs, I have a WWE tattoo on my leg. I could never shy away from the fact that I'm a WWE fan. All right? I am. I watch Raw and SmackDown every week. But comparatively, what you get from those shows and what you get from AEW is almost night and day. And it's like, it's not bad because WWE does what they do as well as anybody in the world. They do that better than anybody in the world. But if you like pro wrestling, if in-ring performances are what you're into, nobody's doing it better than AEW right now. Just a thought.
I mean, yeah. I mean, it's really crazy how good the matches have been, though. It's really cool how the matches have been, though. But then at the same time, though, it's like, yeah, I mean, like, it's like you mentioned, though. It's like, we've been getting good matches, good segments, good promos. And then, like, you know, we can touch on it a little bit from last week. I mean, like, I mean, we're not running away from it. Ratings have been down a little bit, like, significantly down last week, I know.
Yeah, and I, you know, my own personal thing, and it's not, it's, you can't prove it. You can't prove what I'm saying is over wrestling oversaturation.
Well, I've always felt like it's kind of been like that because there's so much shit out there.
Yeah, it went from, hey, all you have is WWE to you have so much options right now. And sometimes you like, man, I just want to watch Wednesday tonight. You know, I just want to turn on Netflix and binge Wednesday and try to have sex with my wife. That's all I want to do tonight. That's all I want to do. And it's like, you know, you don't want to get into the wrestling thing and a wrestling mindset. Or it's Monday and I've missed football. It's been gone since January. I'm just going to watch Monday Night Football tonight. I don't hate wrestling. I'm not tired of wrestling. It's just, I'm tired of putting it in front of everything. I want to do something else. And I'm not talking for me. Hey, I do wrestling and chill all the time. What up? You know what I mean? But, but I can see that mindset coming from other people. What I try to do is put myself in the face, in the place of someone that is not like a crazy super fan or whatever. And yeah, I just want to do something else tonight. You know, I'm tired of dedicating Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday to wrestling. Maybe I want to watch an old episode of How I Met Your Mother instead.
There you go.
Yeah, it's just whatever you're into, I can get it. I just think there's a lot. And let's be real. Love AEW Dynamite. Love Collision. One of my favorite wrestling shows on that. But if you miss a week, are you really broken?
Once you miss that, I've always said it too. It's like when it's mandatory watching and like you have a schedule to it, all it takes is that first miss, and then it doesn't hurt nearly as bad when you miss. So
yeah, and that's, it was like that with me. And like I said, it's on a different level. But when I missed that LA Full Gear and I finally stayed home for our AEW pay-per-view, it became much easier to stay home for AEW pay-per-views.
Yeah.
And like, it became much easier to have the experience talking to my friends while I'm watching the show as opposed to being there. But up until then, it was like, I can't miss it. If I miss it, they're going to go out of business. Like, it was like, that was kind of the main thought process, which, again, it's a broken thought process, but it's like that. So it's like, I want AEW to get hot again. And most importantly, it's because it's a good show. Not just because I want AEW to succeed, which I very much do. I am not unbiased in any way.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they've been putting on quality programming every week. It's not a waste of time. And it's like if you're like, man, after I watch a while on SmackDown, I'm done. I'm like, don't watch SmackDown. I mean, literally. Yeah. Like, I've quit watching NXT. Again, it was not anything against WWE. This is not a political statement whatsoever.
No.
I just felt a little worn down from wrestling. So I had to make a choice of something I was going to give up, and I gave that up. And I honestly feel like I'm enjoying Wednesdays more because I have the Monday show. I got a Tuesday night where I start watching a TV show, or, you know, I finish Ironheart, which had been in my queue forever. And then I had Wednesday where it was like, oh, I didn't watch wrestling yesterday. Oh, man, I'm ready to watch some wrestling. And I was like, man, I really enjoyed it more. That's what it did for me. I'm not saying it's going to do that for you. So I'm just like, if you're having issues, the Friday show, man, turn on Twitter. You'll get the highlights. And it's like, honestly, that's kind of how I watch NXT is like, they put up the important shit on Twitter anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah, all
right. It'll get up there. You'll see it somehow. So, yeah. But we got a lot to get to, guys. We got a lot to get to on this show from this week's Dynamite. And we got a big big Dynamite looking forward to next week as well, leading into the big match that we've got, the big show that we've got going into All Out in Toronto. But before we get into everything, guys, we want to make sure you are downloading this fine show on YouTube Music, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all that good stuff. If you're enjoying us, give us a share with your friends, family, coworkers, whoever you wish. Rate, review, subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. If you enjoy us, you can also leave a rating and then also follow us on Twitter. We are at AT Elite Pod. You can also follow at Social Suplex, who make this show possible. Check out all the other shows they have on their network. I am at Austin Sumowicz, S-Z-U-M-O-W-I-C-Z. And Floyd is at Floyd Johnson Jr. on Twitter. Go to make sure you go to Chop Tees, get yourself a t-shirt. And then if you also enjoy that, you can also sign up for the Social Suplex newsletter. Links are in the description of this show. So we have the big, we kind of touched a little bit about the news of the week with the AEW ratings last week, but we can kind of go a little bit more into that, I feel like just in terms of like,
okay,
because we had about.
What are you seeing as the news of the week, sir?
It's the Forbidden Door contest winner.
See, I think you're looking at 291. We're on 292.
Oh, okay. Sorry. My bad.
All right. So the big news of the week is we're doing an all-out pay-per-view giveaway in a celebration of all-out being available on HBO Max. What we're going to do is the contest is – or giveaway. It's not a contest because you don't really got to do a lot. It's a giveaway. It's going to be completely with this episode of the show. This is episode 292. We're going to post it in the morning like we do. We like, retweet it to your friends, post, it'll say this in the post, the match you're looking forward to most at All Out. Next week, we'll I'll do the drawing before the show next week, and we'll announce the winner, and then we'll get together to make sure your All Out pay-per-view is paid for. And I don't care how you order it. I don't care if you're international. I don't care if you're America. If you order it through Triller, HBO Max, whatever, I'll make sure you get the show for free through me. I don't know how the codes and shit work, so we have our way of getting it done. So that's what it is. Just the like and retweet of the show and what match you're looking forward to most, and you can get the All Out pay-per-view for free.
Yeah, so guys, make sure you take part of the All Out giveaway. We want to see you guys be able to enjoy the show next week, so you know, just enjoy yourselves with all that, and sign up for that and be able to take part of that. We love being able to give back to you guys who listen to the show, so make sure you take part in that. It's a cool little thing that we're doing for you guys. But we'll go right into our AEW Dynamite review. I believe this was this the last show from the 2300 arena? Or
Collision will be the last show.
Collision will be the last.
It was recorded.
The last Dynamite, yeah.
Recorded
tonight, yeah.
Yeah.
So, but the show opens up with a grudge match. Hangman Adam Page versus the Walking Weapon, Josh Alexander of the Don Callis family. So continuing onward with Hangman going down and going after all the members of the Don Callis family. So this was a really fun opening match. And also, I must say, too, because I don't know if we touched on this last week. I can't remember if it was announced last week or this week. But Bryan Danielson is now an official member of the AEW commentary team.
It was all announced on Collision. So
yeah, I think they announced it last week on Collision, yeah. And yeah, so he is now on the commentary team pretty much full-time, I think. And I will say, as a guy who enjoyed Bryan Danielson screaming about bears on Saturday Morning Slam, I'm all for Bryan Danielson commentary. And also, too, I mean, when he did the Cruiserweight Classic with Mauro Ranallo, that was the most engaging commentary team I had ever heard in wrestling in a very, very long time. So I am all for Bryan Danielson doing commentary. It is a lovely sight to see. I will say I enjoy that tremendously, first off, before we even get into the match itself.
Yeah, a big thing with me is, like, I am glad he's there, because just like you, I absolutely enjoyed his time on CWC, but he's like, I'm done full time because he promised his kid. I mean, that was the story. Maybe it was true, maybe it wasn't. But it's like, full time is full time. So if you're going to be on the show full time, why aren't you wrestling as the American Dragon? I know he said some BS about him not being able to wrestle to the level of AEW. I laugh at that. One of the greatest in-ring performers ever. I think at 40%, he's better than half of the world at wrestling. So I laugh at that. He can't do that. But as a person that comes to it, I'm glad, you know, he's always willing to help AEW in any way he can. I appreciate it. Yeah, that was JR calling me. I appreciate...
recording JR.
Yeah, I absolutely appreciate that he's always willing to help AEW in any way. He was in Australia at a rugby practice or whatever. So the dude is down for the team. So I am glad that they see this as the best way for him to help. And I like him because he's very much old school. He feels like the succession of Gorilla Monsoon in the way that everything he does, he's trying to make it make sense in the wrestling sphere. Like, this is why you do it this way. This is why. And he's so good at you manipulating stuff. If you're not somebody that it has somewhat been jaded about wrestling, it's refreshing. But I can honestly say that looking at it, I can see why people would hate it too, because wrestling color isn't done like that anymore.
Right.
It isn't, you know.
No, it really isn't.
Yeah, Nigel tries. He throws a little bit in there, but Bryan Danielson. Yeah, he goes all the way to the right. He goes all the way. He is full on. Like, he's manipulating the fingers because it makes it hard for you to do your move. Yeah, he goes full right, full strategy, full caller commentator. He might as well be Madden with the Telestrator.
There you go. I mean, like, I feel like he is the GOAT, absolutely, in terms of wrestling, and he is killer at commentary, so I'm not going to be ever angry to hear him on color. But this was a really, really, really strong opening matchup. There was interference with all the Don Callis family, though, towards the end, and it didn't matter because Hangman was able to still fight his way through the entire time. Alexander looked like a stud. He was absolutely just fighting his way through it. They just were throwing hands from the beginning. And then you had a great moment where the, the moment where Hangman is held up and gets, it was like a, from the top rope, like, but what's the name of the move? Like, Kenny does it when he does it to the corner, but like, jumps off the top rope and basically whatever Josh did in the top off the top
the rolling fireman's carry.
Dude, I couldn't believe that shit. That looked ridiculous.
Oh, dude.
Like, I was like dumbfounded by that.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, he's been in the Don Callis family, so people forget Josh Alexander is one of the better, you know, wrestlers in the world. I don't know, top 10, top 20, whatever, but he ain't lower than 50. You know what I mean?
No.
The dude's amazing. You know, this is why he got signed All Elite. He caused some controversy this week by saying that it was never his dream to wrestle at WrestleMania, and that broke some motherfuckers' brains. Like, my dad, like, oh my God, your dream wasn't the same as mine? I'm so shocked.
What?
I will tell anyone, you know, that said, oh, I grew up wanting to be the world champion. When I was growing up, when I was a kid, and, you know, we would play wrestling and stuff, I always wanted to be the TV champion. I never wanted to be the world champion. I never wanted to be Flair. I always wanted to be Arn. So it's like, and so in a lot lower way, I understand it. You get what I mean? Like,
sure.
I didn't want to be Flair. I wanted to be Arn. I didn't want to be Brett, the world champion Brett. I wanted to be a part of the better tag team. Like, if I was wrestling, I would be a tag team wrestler. I always, like I said, because of, you know, what TV I got, all I got was that Sunday morning WCW show, and Arn Anderson was in the main event every week. So that's what I wanted to be. So don't put your wishes and goals and dreams and how you see it on everyone else.
There you go. No, I'm right there with you with that. Hangman grabbing Josh Alexander to the outside and suplexing him into the guardrail. It looked like he landed on his head. That was freaking crazy. They beat the 10 count. And then as the match goes on, there's a great moment where Hangman hits the dead eye on the apron, and then the Arihara moonsault. And then after that, we have a great moment with the buckshot lariat. And again, Don Callis tried to distract the referee with Archer and Rocky Romero trying to get in there. But it did not matter because he knocked away them and then got the buckshot lariat on Alexander. That was the pinfall victory for that match. Really, really fun match to open things up. And then we move immediately into a promo that led into a face-off between Hangman and Kyle Fletcher. But the match itself was just fucking awesome. Hangman, again, continuing to just shine, and Josh Alexander proving to people, like, hey, do not sleep on me. If you were sleeping on me before, you're ridiculous for doing so. Like, this guy is such a good worker. And he's a huge part of the Don Callis family, which is one of the most over groups, I think, in terms of just like their strength and their power. I mean, like they're dominant and they're fierce. I feel like that just, it's crazy how much sway they have. If it wasn't for, the Death Riders or like all that kind of stuff. I mean, like they're dominating TV right now. Don Callis family is everywhere.
They are the primary heel faction in AEW right now. After Death Riders lost, Don Callis family casually just slid right in there to be the number one heel faction in AEW. And it works because of that group. Look at this kind of match that we get. It's like, this is Josh Alexander versus Hangman. This is amazing. And it made sense. And it wasn't just like, oh, this match is just thrown on, you know? So I completely, like, this match was so good. I'm glad I got to remind everybody that Josh Alexander's, you know, still really good at wrestling. I know he's in this group, but the dude can go.
Yeah, 1,000% he can go. Then Hangman gets on the mic. He was talking about basically the most important role in All Elite Wrestling is wrestling. That's what I'm here to do because I am the All Elite Wrestling Men's World Champion. I like the fact, I mean, have you enjoyed that they've made the difference between the Men's Women World Champion and the Women's World Champion? Like, they're saying it now?
No.
Like, they're really, are you not a fan of that?
It does nothing for me. I understand he's a man, and I can look at Toni Storm and tell she's a woman. I don't need to be reminded of that. I don't need them to tell me that. I mean, if it does something for you, I'm not trying to take anything away. It just doesn't do anything.
No, I was just like, I caught me off guard. I was like, oh, I see what's going here.
No,
I mean, like, I don't feel one way or the other way about it. I was just like, I was like, what was it? I thought you would have, like,
Time he says it, you know, like, people online make a deal of it. I'm just like, did you have a problem telling the difference?
I think it's all just the idea of, like, men's and women's, like, they're both world champions and they're both looked at as equally as important. I think that's the goal.
And you know what? I already did.
I know you didn't have to be convinced. You didn't have to be convinced about,
like,
that.
I'm like, I didn't. That's what I'm saying. I never thought of one as less than the other. So him saying that, it's great if that means something to you. I don't want to yuck your yum. If that makes you happy, hey, be happy. It's just, you asked me, so.
Yeah. So after that, though, the TNT champion, the Protostar, Kyle Fletcher, comes out and he reminds basically, hey, he has the challenge this past weekend that he laid out. He called out Hangman for the world championship and he wanted to do it face to face. Don Callis, he talked with him and then got into the ring just by himself, and they face to face looked at each other, and Hangman basically just talked about his potential. Said, you have all these attributes. I see myself when I look at you. 6 years ago, standing across the ring from Chris Jericho, dreaming and hoping to be world champion, and I see potential in you. But there's one thing, though. It's that you're not ready. And because he said, based on basically what you did last week, you're not ready. after you took out Kenny Omega. And he's like, I'm 26 years old. I haven't even reached my prime yet. I decide what my prime is, and it's right now, and I will continue as long as I damn well please. And he was like, you know what? I need you to earn it. You need to face me it all out, and I need you to leave the Don Callis family behind you. And God damn it, I need you to find some socks. And they gave him shit for his no sock shoes, which was a nice little funny moment. But then he goes, at All Out, you will say my full name, the AEW TNT champion and new AEW world champion, the protostar Kyle Fletcher. Huge match, dude. Huge match for All Out.
And I feel like this is shown that over the last few weeks, the evolution of Kyle Fletcher on the mic.
Yes.
It was literally about, you know, Don would, you know, say everything. He would carry the conversations, and you know, and it was almost needed because he had never got that mic time. But they are really like letting him evolve in front of us, and it's been kind of amazing to watch. You should be saying his full name, and Hangman tricking him. Because to me, he got over because, you know, of course Don Callis was planning on cheating.
Of course, he was.
And like, he just neutralized his number one advantage and then said he's not ready. And I'm just like, I don't even know what that means. But hey, cool. I do like it. It's the old veteran wrestler that's went through some shit, which is funny saying that about Hangman, since 6 years ago he was, hey, we're going to build a company around this guy.
And I'm right, like, exactly.
Eh, I don't get it. Then now it's Kyle Fletcher, and I'm looking at Kyle Fletcher like, yep, I get it.
Oh, yeah. I get it.
Oh, Kyle Fletcher.
Kyle Fletcher is not hard to get. This dude is a stud.
Kyle Fletcher is built out the Floyd mold of a professional wrestler. He looks like Randy Orton did when he started. He looks like everything. So, yeah.
But, I mean, like, you think about this, though, too. It's like the top four main matches right now for All Out. You've got Cope and Christian against FTR, Hangman and Kyle Fletcher, Mercedes Moné versus Riho, and then Moxley and Darby in the coffin match. I mean, like, that top four is stacked as shit.
Dude, I honestly looked at, like, every match. There is not one match that has currently been announced that I would say, man, they could have just did that as the, like, main event of Dynamite. These are all pay-per-view matches. They all have significant stories. They all have significant stories. They all have actual grudges. They all have stakes that matter.
Yeah, it's just crazy, crazy awesome to see. And it's going to be a fun show next week, but we got a lot to get into. There was a backstage promo from this past Saturday's Collision, and MJF basically goes like, you know, I got married, and like, I still had to be like, have you on my mind basically through all this. And like the day before, I was walking out the door and my newly wedded wife goes like, where are you going? I'm like, I gotta go kill Mark Briscoe. And she threatened to leave him. And he's like, you silly bitch. Like, I've been married for a while. I'm married to the game. I'm married to hate. I'm married to vengeance. And he's like, I will walk down the aisle this Saturday at Collision, and I will say I do, by God, I do, to whatever stipulation Briscoe has for their match at All Out. So, very fun promo from MJF. Honestly, one of the more enjoyable ones that MJF has done.
Dude, like, this,
the comedy on top of that, and then the severity of it too. I think it just mixed so well.
Let's be real. I cannot tell you an MJF promo I enjoyed more. Now, have there been MJF promos that I probably enjoyed on the same level?
Sure.
But dude, the intensity here. And
yes.
Yeah, like, I'm married to hate. I'm married to this. Oh my God. It was like a masterclass. This was like, these promos, like, I know he took a hit when the Bro Chacho thing came. I know he took a hit. And I know a lot of people was like, oh, he's being silly or whatever. This promo is MJF. I love it when he slows it down, and I love it when he makes you jump through hoops, and I just love him in general. But this promo was like the manifesto, This is like, I've been, a common thing I've been saying is Lex Luthor. I've been comparing MJF to Lex Luthor. He is Hangman's Lex Luthor. So now he's fighting against Mark Briscoe, who's a less than a Superman. And he cuts this promo and you hear it because he tries to seem unbothered. He tries to seem all this all the time. But someone has got to him. And like, if you've watched the Superman from in July, when he finally snaps and says basically he's jealous of Superman, this was that promo. He snapped. I hate you. I want to kill you. I need to put you in the ground. It's like, I am not done. I will let you name the stipulation. I will let you choose how you die. This is my MJF.
Yeah, I mean, dude, it was such a good promo. It was such a good promo. We then had a moment where Renee Paquette was in the catering area and was talking to the Young Bucks about the huge 10-man tag match that's for $500,000. And they're like, these guys could really use the money, obviously, because they're not EVPs. They're broke shit. They're like, what would you do with the money? And then he ran down the city of Philadelphia and their food and said, they're going to order expensive food when we win. Nick wanted to double his money at the slot machine. They tried to sit with the Dark Order. Their seats were taken. They went to the next table. They found Brandon Cutler. And Cutler goes, I should have said this a long time ago to you guys. Shut up, Young Bucks. And then that's when Moxley comes down and reminds them that they are the best tag team in the world and said, you guys get $250,000 each if you show up to win. Bucks were then like, all right, we can take the whole goddamn thing. So Moxley believed in them, gave the Young Bucks a pep talk, and they were ready to go for tonight.
And I love this because, you know, the Young Bucks being associated, being like, hey, we're going to do it because we need this money because we're broke. Because even on BTE, you know, people were giving the money into a cup. So that's, you know, that's awesome. So, like, yeah, they are completely motivated to get this W tonight. And Mox had to remind them who the F they were.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And that was the whole purpose, was to have the Bucks remember who they are. We then had a tag team match between Riho and Alex Windsor versus the TBS champion Mercedes Moné and Emi Sakura. Look at Emi Sakura getting back up on TV. And it was okay. Like, honestly, it was all right. And I wasn't like hugely like over the top about this match, though. I thought it was fine. I didn't really go crazy about it. I liked Windsor being able to get another tap out basically with her on the ropes with the sharpshooter. So even if it wasn't official at, she made Moné tap out again. I thought that was a nice little moment to get in there. But yeah, I wasn't like over the moon with this match. I thought it was pretty good. I liked the moment where Mercedes and Sakura were going up against Riho and they were really basically, just constantly teaming up on Riho. I thought it was a good heel moment. As it goes on, though, Riho was trying to get up and Sakura had some time to get up and Moné came up and they had Windsor getting Riho. And like I say, Windsor got Moné and the sharpshooter in the ropes. Riho then got Emi Sakura with a single leg Boston Crab, made Emi Sakura tap out, and the babyface get the win. And like I said, it was pretty okay match, I thought. Wasn't anything insane. I'm more so just excited for the singles match that we're going to get it all out. But, like, this is just cool. I was happy to see Emi Sakura back on TV. But this is fine.
I'm not going to, you know, this thought is weird. I'm not going to disclaim it. I thought Rio looked rusty as hell.
There was points where I saw the slipperiness of it, and, like, there was just, like, it was weird, because it seemed like when Emi and Riho were going at each other, that was the extra, like, bit of sloppiness. I would have thought they would have been way more on point with each other, but a lot of the, like, the sloppiness I felt like kind of was when they were going at it a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know. It seems like they would be more the chemistry would be way more there, or like they'd be more locked in terms of their cohesion, I guess I should say.
Yes. I don't know the explanation. I feel like it'll be locked down by Toronto. But yeah, she just seemed like, oh, I haven't been doing this a lot recently, so the timing.
It was fine. It didn't really ruin it for me, but I could see what you were saying though, yeah.
It just seemed like she was thinking and it was a little slow.
Right.
Yeah.
No, that's really all I had for that. There was a quick little gentleman's agreement with Ricochet offering something to Shelton Benjamin, basically saying before their match, like, here's a gentleman's agreement. We leave everyone in the back. We do it one-on-one. And I will embarrass you later tonight. And they're like, Shelton's like, okay. And then we have all the statistics being narrated about this first-time matchup between FTR and Adam Copeland and Christian Cage. Stokely comes out. And was like, basically, like, y'all are spreading bullshit. And then they ran down everybody that was in the building. And then Dax just wanted to start a fight with the people in the crowd. He got in the face of one guy specifically. And the camera guy is getting close, trying to catch all of it. And apparently bumps into Dax. So Dax shoves the camera guy. And then they're staring over him. And then they start beating up the cameraman. And then other staff members. And they're just going vicious mode on that. So, Floyd, do you want to answer for your guys?
So, first of all, when he come out, Cash is literally 2 to 3 minutes just jawing with this guy in the crowd. And people are like, I know exactly who that guy is. And again, my Twitter is well manicured to not have trolls and everything on it. Well, I guess this guy is like heel something on Twitter. I honestly know his Twitter.
I saw Ross Sapp share it. And he was just like, oh my God, this is the dude that has me blocked.
Yeah, I want to make sure this is clear. I know his Twitter. I'm not giving it to you because I don't want him to get any attention. Mm-hmm. So Twitter jerk guy is, and apparently he shits on AEW.
AEW, but bought a front row seat.
He bought a ticket, was at the show, literally shitting on the show while at the show. And I guess this is his gimmick because he's a heel. And I'm doing the air quotes because if you're a fan that thinks you have a fucking gimmick, fuck off. Okay. like we don't have gimmicks. We are fans.
That's all we are.
We're fans. But yes. So so he's jawing at him, and I wanted to know. So I asked, and it was like, had no idea who the fuck that guy was. He didn't. He's like, so it was just a very big coincidence. So that was pretty cool. And Dax is arguing with that same guy later, and then the cameraman was on it, and I was like, the cameraman was on it, you know, get it, and he went down, and then they started beating up. So I will tell you this. I had no idea who the man was, again, until the Sean Ross Sapp stuff and all that stuff later. I thought he was a plant. Cash was jawing with him so hard, and Dax was jawing with him so hard, and all the intention was to that one guy.
Yeah.
I thought they were going to actually punch him, and it was going to play off like they beat up a fan. And right. It's like, that was all just like, that dude. Yeah. I was like, that's crazy. I fucking loved it. I was going to have to defend FTR, but, you know, he deserved it. Everybody on the internet knows that he deserved it. And they're going to hurt Christian and Cope, and I'm sorry, because that's what they're paid to do. I know FTR says they hurt people. The hurt people business say they hurt people. FTR actually does it. They actually put people out. You know, I don't know who the hurt syndicate has put out, but I do know they put out Cope for quite a few months. So I'm just saying, one actually hurts people, you know. So like this just built up my excitement, and I'm online and everybody's like, this is FTR's best run. I'm reading it. This is the best work FTR has ever did. And I was laughing. I was like, this is FTR. I mean, this is why they're my favorite tag team. This is who they are. I've been screaming. How long was I saying they needed to turn heel before they finally did it?
Oh my God, dude. We were both screaming.
It was like, they're not being used correctly. They are miscast in this role. And it feels like a level of vindication. I know my guys as well as anyone else. It's just like they were miscast in the role that they're in. This is what they do. This is how they could help the AEW tag division be the best tag division in the world in this role. I always said if the Young Bucks and FTR are like heel and face, the Bucks need to be the face. FTR is my favorite tag team ever, but when they're heels, they're a 10. When they're faces, they're like a 7. You know, and that's me being 100% honest.
Sure.
You know, they're better when they're not worried about being liked. They can take the cuffs off and just be.
Oh, dude.
They can be who they are. You know, let me tell you, they are North Carolina boys, so let's use a North Carolina reference. When FTR is heels, they are 23 Jordan. When they are faces, they are 45 Jordan. 45 Jordan was pretty good. You know, 45 Jordan put up 50-something against the Knicks. He was pretty good. But 23 Jordan? But 23 Jordan? But 23 it's Jordan.
Different conversation.
Different fucking conversation. And when FTR is in their bag, when they're heels, they are 23 Jordan all the way, baby.
All the way. All the way. We then had... Shelton Benjamin had a response to the gentleman's agreement, basically being like, you know what, MVP wanted to chime in, and he's like, I got it handled. And he's like, Ricochet, you can leave everyone in the back. And then he promised he was going to put him on his back. And then we go into the match between Ricochet and Shelton Benjamin. The ball chance.
Yes, yeah. Ball.
We bald people. They are bald people.
And, you know, we all know bald is the best. That means your testosterone level is high.
That's what I was going to say. that was them actively. I feel like that was more like outside of the just the bald chance. It was we bald people seemed way more endearing. Maybe that's just me, but like. Yes. Does that seem way more endearing than any of the other bald chants?
Absolutely, and I just loved how this match worked because it was like, you know, Sheldon used to be an athletic freak.
He still is. Don't get me wrong.
He still is, but when he's in the Hurt Syndicate, he's just throwing dudes around. He is the Minnesota Golden Gopher, All-American, National Champion wrestler, Shelton Benjamin. And he was chunking Ricochet around like it was nothing. Mm-hmm. And I loved it because, you know, it was the contrast of almost high flyer versus technical style, you know, badass versus kind of coward. And I just thought this match was about old school wrestling as you can get inside of an AEW ring. It was like, Ricochet was full-on cowardly heel. Shelton Benjamin was full-on badass good guy. And they told that story super well.
And then, of course, the gentleman's agreement was absolutely bullshit from Ricochet's side of things. Because Bishop Khan and Toa Leona shows up at ringside. They distract the referee. Headbutt to Shelton Benjamin. That gets the roll-up with a handful of tights. Cheats to win. You got duped into the gentleman's agreement because God knows Ricochet was not going to follow through with that. They went and they picked off him, and then MVP and Bobby Lashley come to the Hayd. They start fighting off with those guys, and security comes out, and then Ricochet gets knocked out by the ring by Benjamin getting his little revenge and building up the heat for their trios match at All Out. Like you said, this is classic, just old school. Cowardly heel versus athletic freak babyface, and dude, and Danielson especially was giving Shelton so much props. I feel like too, the entire match, and it was just really, it was a fun one. I enjoyed it, and I thought like it gave me a lot of excitement for the trios match too. Especially just being able to get MVP in the ring with these guys too,
dude. And let me say this: I don't know the Gates of Agony. Khan works a lot of independents, Toa Leona. If he does, I don't see that he works them a lot. I don't know if this is just improvement of their craft over the last 6 months to a year, but they had a promo that they posted on the AEW site And it's like, they let the pit bulls off the leash. They are so good at promoing. Like, I was like, Ricochet, you know, it's Ricochet. This is not to disparage him, but when they're cutting the promo, and I don't know if Ricochet was doing this on purpose to let them shine, he was kind of the lamest one. Totally alone. Since they've let him use the mic, I'm like, why hasn't this guy been talking for years? What are they doing? I mean, he has a Samoa Joe Taz intensity to him. And I'm watching the promo and he's yelling. Don't get me wrong, he is yelling. But it wasn't the yelling that did it. It was the presence. It was the passion with what he was saying. I was just like, where the hell's this been?
Yeah.
Why wasn't this out when they were with Swerve? I love these guys.
You barely saw any of that. Yeah,
he was literally grunting. He wasn't allowed to talk. He would, he would do that. And I was just like, dude, I mean, ever since they got Ricochet, I am a Gates of Agony fan. Not like, oh my God, I'm like, oh, they're kind of, no, I am a fan. They have a presence about them. Like, he cut that promo and he's like, I'm going to build my legacy on top of yours. And I was like, oh, this motherfucker going to beat up Bobby Lashley. And you know, in my head, that doesn't even sound right. Because nobody can beat up Bobby Lashley. But God dang it, he convinced me in this 30-second clip. So if you haven't seen it, go back and watch it. AEW Dynamite put it out there. I'll share it on the page. But yeah, I just was like, where has this been? Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was honestly really well done. Really, really well done. Hook had a promo in front of a fire pit where he basically said, in regards to Samoa Joe and Powerhouse Hobbs, he's like, I understand when they needed to go next man up. And when I was hurt, I appreciated their backup, but now it's time for me to stand on my own. Or is it? So a little bit of tease there. They officially made Hangman Page versus Cal Fletcher official. Cal said he had all the confidence in the world of Fletcher being able to do it by himself, and he needs to trust him because he will bring the AEW World Championship to the family. And then we go into the Philly street fight between Toni Storm, the AEW Women's World Champion, against Sky Blue. Woo, buddy, this was awesome. I mean, before the match, even you saw the picture on Twitter, freaking the great passing of the torch from the Sandman to Toni Storm. And timeless Toni Storm comes out with the kendo stick, rips off the 2300 sign off of the steel area on the stage, takes a beer, chugs it, slams it against her head like Sandman in Philly. So good. So good. So good. Just a complete, this was a tribute to ECW and this entire building and this city and their wrestling, and done by two badass women too. Like, it's a great way to just turn things on a completely different angle of it too. And it was fun. There's no way that Sky Blue was winning this match 1000%, but it was still fun. Her fucking taking the staple gun to Tony's ass was ridiculous and insane. But then she goes, and the great reveal of the table covered in mousetraps with the sniffing out a rat, timeless Toni Storm in underneath the tarp or whatever the hell it was, like, so good. Camera work and the showmanship of that was amazing. Toni gets put through the table. Well, not put through it. She puts on the table with the mousetraps. It doesn't break, but then creates the image of her falling face forward into Sky Blue in a very compromising position, but one that feels very apropos for Toni Storm and her character. So fucking good. A great moment, though, where Sky Blue proceeds to take a trash can and hit her multiple times. There's an electric bug swatter that they put over in the match too, which is, I think that's the first time I've seen that in wrestling in a street fight. But then She takes the 2300 sign and then puts it in the corner. Hip attack onto Sky Blue with the sign. Then a Storm Zero on the steel chair. And Toni Storm is victorious. And then she gets attacked by the other members of the Triangle of Madness. And that's when Jamie Hayter comes out to even the odds. And they had it. But then eventually Chris Statlander also comes out too. But then Jamie Hayter accidentally hits Chris Statlander with a forearm. Then the Triangle of Madness get rid of them, go back after Toni Storm, and then great spear from Thekla hits the spider pose over Toni Storm to set up the four-way at All Out. This was a ton of fun. Like, this is such a great moment. Probably, if we're being honest, like, clear match of the night. Clear match of the night. And might even be the match of the residency from Philly. Like, it'll be tough to say, but this might be the match of the residency. I love the tribute. I love the way that they did this. It was just so good.
Dude, so we talk, and I talk about this often, about the predictability. Sometimes that takes me out of a match. This match, I knew who was going to win. I knew who was going to win. I didn't zone out because, dude, it was action from the very beginning. And I felt like in this match, it elevated Sky Blue. Toni won, but you like Sky Blue's it added a level of toughness and danger to Sky Blue. Now, she's done these type of matches before, don't get me wrong, but this was, usually she had a partner, and you know, they would lean on each other or whatever. In this one, it was mano a mano with the AEW Women's World Champion, Toni Storm. And I think she held her own, was right there with her, was right here with her at every step. Very well executed match. I would have to go back and look at the residency, but I can say I don't know of a better match on the residency. But Kyle Fletcher and Dustin went really, really hard, and that was during the residency.
That was badass, yes.
Yeah, and they went really, really hard. So I'm not going to – I don't know. Like I said, I would have had to think about it for the list.
Sure. But no, absolutely. Yeah,
if I was saying the women's match of the residency, definitely.
No question.
It's not even close.
Yes. We then have a backstage interview with Willow Nightingale, had some words for Marina Shafir, but then Harley Cameron comes out with a guitar in hand. Oh, after my Be Still My Beating Heart. And then tries to mend the fences with Chris Statlander and Willow Nightingale, and was like, "Listen, she's trying to be nice, all that kind of stuff. And if you let bygones be bygones, I will draw a cat on your face. Draw a cat on your face. Willow was like, "Harley, you're the best, and you know I would absolutely take getting a cat drawn on my face, but." There's a past with me and Stat and the friends that she clearly still has. And she also made sure to warn Harley to watch her back around Statlander. Harley and Renee, as she leaves, kind of sadly harmonize over the chorus of cat on our face, on your face. Such a good moment. So great. And we then announce the huge AEW Unified Championship tournament that they're doing. Leading into All Out. So Kazuchika Okada will be basically putting his title on the line in a tournament. He first has to face Michael Oku this Saturday on Collision. Fuck yeah. Absolutely. Konosuke Takeshita will face Anthony Bowens. And then next week on September to Remember Dynamite, Beast Mortos against Mascara Dorada. And the winners of those three matches will meet in the final in a three-way at All Out for the Unified Championship.
So what are you telling me is that I'm going to get Okada and Takeshita in the same ring?
I believe that's what I'm telling you, yes.
Yeah. Sign me up. Worth the price of admission? Yeah. So, my affinity for the man, the myth, the legend, Takeshita is, not lost on anyone that listens to this show. But then Takeshita and Okada is like the match to me.
Yes.
Like, there's very few dream big matches that AEW can put on that they haven't put on. Okesta and Takata, Okada is the match.
Okesta.
Yes. I messed up. but yeah, that's the match. I want to see them fight each other. I want to see them tag up. I want to see them in trios. I want to see them every way that you're willing to put those two people in a ring, because New Japan has not really done the best job of finding the next guy after Okada. And that has kind of left the door open for Takeshita to be that guy. And I'm not shitting on New Japan out. This is straight from Cuban and Strong Style. So it has opened that door for Takeshita to be the guy in New Japan. And like I said, if it's me, I'm like, to me, the strength of your partners is just as much important as the strength of your company. I'm letting Takeshita ride New Japan as much as they need him. But it ain't my money. It ain't my contract. So ignore me. This is just me fantasy booking a little bit.
Sure.
Yeah. Takeshita is like what wrestling needs, not necessarily what, you know, just New Japan or AEW. So this match, being at a show where I'm going to actually be at.
You're going to be going crazy at this All Out, dude.
I'm telling you, with all the great matches lined up and a match we're going to talk about that looks like it's happening, but it hasn't been announced, I'm going to be fucking exhausted. I am absolutely going to have a bang like right before the show starts, because it is, seriously, this is the shamest of pay-per-views. It is banger after banger after banger after banger. It's like, if you win match of the night at All Out, I am 90% sure you're going to be the match of the month.
Yeah.
If you have the best performance at this All Out, I am 90% you're going to be our wrestler of the month. No matter what, women, man, whoever it is. Because it's so stacked. Every match has stakes that, yeah, it's going to be like, just think, like, who wants to follow this match? Let's just say it's Takeshita, Okada, and Mortos. Who wants to follow that? Takeshita, Okada, Mascara Dorada. Who the fuck wants to follow that?
No, I mean, like, come
who
on.
Wants to follow that? Like, seriously, what the Hurt Syndicate and the Ricochet of Agony are going to do each other? Who wants to follow that? Like, this is going to be a crazy, crazy ass show. And the idea of, yeah, Takeshita and Okada being in the same ring, it's pretty epic. It's pretty epic.
So we can go now into the main event of the show, the $500,000 10-man tag between the Death Riders, Jon Moxley, Claudio Castagnoli, Wheeler Yuta, and the Young Bucks, versus the tag team champions, Brodito, and the trio champions, the Ops. First of all, Young Bucks' new ridiculous intro is them coming out to the OG Dynamite theme from Mikey Ruckus, and their government names and their government photos, which...
Yeah, the Ron John threw me off. It threw me off. I was like, oh yeah, weed's illegal. And weed's legal in California.
It is very legal.
I'm thinking you had to be high when you named him Ron John. I'm just saying.
Like, are you aware of who their dad is?
Yes. No.
Like...
He looks like a hippie. I do laugh at that one as a person that has a very old name. It was kind of hilarious.
Oh sure, yeah, absolutely. I will say too, I love this idea of Bandido doing the Macarena in the ring and trying to get Brody to do it, and he just doesn't do it, because I know the one time that he does it, the pop will be insane. If he keeps trying to do it and Brody keeps saying no, the pop when Brody does it will be spectacular. Like, I'm just telling you, like, I cannot wait for that pop, because it's going to be nuts. I've always said this. I always say this with these matches. I'm not a massive multi-tag man match fan. Like, I think they're fine. And AEW is the one company that does multi-man tag matches that I am completely fine with. And they always know how to do it at the best of their abilities. And everybody in the match is so fucking good, it's not even funny. And this is an instance of so many talented guys in the wrestler in the ring. It is impossible to not enjoy the match. But honestly, I more so paid attention to everything after the match. But this was a fun main event. Even if it's in a match type that I'm not a massive fan of, it was still a very fun match. And I just want to get into the insanity of what happened after the match. Floyd, if you want to touch on the match itself. You might be muted.
No. I was kind of taken in because a lot happened during the match.
A lot did, like I said, like it's an insane multi-man match with so much shit in it. Like, I can't hit it point by point. It was a lot of fun.
I got to do better. Okay. And I'll say, be sure, I got to do better at taking notes during these matches. Because we get a lot of them now. We get lots of 4-on-4, 5-on-5, $500,000, some random number involved. But yeah, a lot of shit just happens in these matches.
Yes.
And it's amazing shit. Don't get me wrong. And it's great. But it's like, you had this hilarious moment. And I'm just going off the top of my head. Like I said, I didn't take any notes. Where everybody's battling each other. And Brody and Will Hobbs are standing in the ring. And then they're just staring at the Young Bucks. And the Young Bucks is like, no. And they try to get away. Will Hobbs throws him down. And then Brody does a diving. I don't know what they call it. But he dives through the ropes and landed on him. And I was just like, that's like, Brody's so scary. The reason he's scary is this. You always say, man, you're like, Austin's like, I'm small, I'll run for him. The dude's fast, too.
He's fast as fuck, boy.
You're not running from him. He's a grizzly bear. He's like, oh, I'm 400 pounds and I run 70 miles an hour. Like, it is crazy. And then Will Hobbs, a guy, you know, Will Hobbs, if you don't know my affinity for the man meat mountain, Will Hobbs, you don't listen to the show. And it's just like, dude, the way he it's like, I you know, last week I gave the big shout out to Harley, and she proved it again this week that she makes the most of every minute of their match, right?
Yep.
Will Hobbs has reached this point of he understands who he is as a wrestler as much as anybody in wrestling now. He gets who he is.
Oh,
in everything he does, in every move he does, he's Will Hobbs. And you're like, oh, there's big wrestlers, but they're not, they don't work like Will Hobbs does. There's strong guys, but they don't work like Will Hobbs does. Bobby Lashley and Will Hobbs next to each other, both powerful, big, giant black dudes. They wrestle completely different.
Yes.
There is Will Hobbs big, and then there's everybody else big. There's Bobby Lashley big, and there's everybody else big. One day, my AEW dream match is those big ass dudes beating the shit out of each other.
Oh, God, yeah. The meatiest of the meat matches.
The meatiest of the meat matches. I don't need a title. I don't need anything. You know, honestly, the ref's only there to count the three of the submission. I just want them beating the shit out of each other. And if they ever decide to team up, everybody else should just retire.
Yeah, right?
So I'm watching this match, and you're like, Will Hobbs stuck out to me. Then you got Samoa Joe, who is Aura, capital A, capital U, capital R, capital A. I'm like, the fact that he was never world champion in the other place, as far as I don't understand. He is the most legitimate, one of the most legitimate professional wrestlers in the world. It's like, he makes everything better just being there. So I just like watching this match, and everything's flying around and everything's happening. And it's just like, I'm just sitting there with a stupid shit eating grin on my face because I realize, I mean, like, not just realize, this is one of the reasons I love this company. Because in the same night that you got a street fight with Tony Storm and Sky Blue, and then you had an amazing singles match between Hangman and Josh Alexander, you then get this clusterfuck at the end of the show, and it's
exactly.
Like, and they all somehow fit into what is AEW.
It's all insanity, and it was a great closing of Dynamite in the 2300 arena. But then after the match, Bucks are trying to celebrate the fact that they illegally pinned Bandido to win, and they won their $500,000. They got chased by Brody King. Death Riders then proceed to go after the Ops. Darby Allin then flies in and is ready to go and beat everybody up, has Moxley by himself, and is just getting ready where he wants to go after him. And then he gets jumped by some man in a hood, and it's Daniel Garcia. He has absolutely listened to the advice he got from John Moxley, and he is joining the Death Riders. He gets you sold out chance at him. A chair gets brought in. Garcia takes Darby and then, like, takes him and shoves his face with his foot into the steel chair. Moxley screaming as, like, Garcia beats down Darby Allin, and then they all walk through the crowd, and Daniel Garcia is a heel again. Fucking finally. Like, here's the thing. Daniel Garcia, he's a great guy. He's very fun. I enjoy Daniel Garcia. You'd ran your course with him as a babyface. And it's because that man was a dance move and nothing else. And now, this is where Daniel Garcia becomes a monster, I feel like. I think him getting under the tutelage of John Moxley is only going to make him better. It's basically going to do everything for him that wasn't done for him for Chris Jericho.
And then that's what has been going on with it. And it's funny. I was going to play the video during this show, but I got lazy. Bryan Danielson is like, what if we take a guy like Willie Yuta under our wings? What if we take a guy like Daniel Garcia under our wings? He was two. So in order, they have gotten Willie Yuta and Daniel Garcia. Lee Moriarty, STP, Shane Taylor, you better watch out. Because, you know, that was the third name on the list. So he is, this is called long-term storytelling. Daniel Garcia made the right choice. It was the literal definition, if you can't beat him, join him. Literally. Like, he couldn't beat Moxley 2 weeks, and he's like, the only way I'm going to get better I'm not going to beat him, doing it the Daddy Magic way. I need to know how to do this. So he joined the Death Riders, and this was the perfect way to end the Dynamite version of the Philly residency. So good.
Absolutely. It was such a good moment. I'm so excited to see Daniel Garcia's growth and his character change. I think it's going to be awesome to see. And I think this is nothing but good stuff for DG, and I'm really rooting for him. I'm hoping this does some really awesome stuff. But that was AEW Dynamite Collision taped tonight.
Yeah, and I just wanted to say, shout out to Kendi and Laura. I mentioned them on the show. They're my newest Young Buck friends. They had a great 3 weeks at the residency. First week, the Bucks wasn't on the show, but the next week, they meet the Bucks. Then they get to see them live, and then they get to see them live again. And this is like, I think for Laura, I think this is the third time that she had ever seen them live. So, hey. and they were on TV the whole night. Anytime they did a wide shot, boom, they were there. They actually had more screen time than the Young Bucks. So I am actually very...
I'm not against that.
I am very happy for my friends. So I'm glad they were in that position to see the show and that they got that Philly residency because, you know, again, that's, to me, more than anything, the fans and these experiences is what AEW is about.
Oh, totally. I'm glad they got to experience that. That is really, really cool. But obviously, Collision was taped. It's going to be airing coast to coast this Saturday. For what we have this Saturday, for people who don't want to be spoiled on the Collision spoilers.
Yeah, I was going to give them the match because I have, like, they added another match that hadn't.
They did, yes. Oh, yeah, okay. You can go ahead and give them out.
Oh, I didn't know if you had it yet, so.
I have all of them, except I don't know if they have the one that was also added, so you can go ahead and run them down. All
right, so it's Jon Moxley and Daniel Garcia, the newly formed tag team, versus Roderick Strong and Kyle O'Reilly, the Paragon. Some reason, you know, I don't know how big they're going to make the Death Riders, but Roderick Strong has a clear Death Rider tie, so if he was going to join, they would actually make 100% the most sense, right? Yeah, I don't know. They haven't leaned towards that anyway, but he has a clear Death Rider tie. So, whatever. All Out Unified Title Match, and these are spoiler-free, Okada versus Oku. All Out Unified Title Match Qualifier, Takeshita versus Bowens. FTR versus Adam Priest and Tommy Billington. Mark Briscoe announces the stipulation for All Out match against MJF. MJF appears, and then the $500,000 10-woman match, Jamie Hayter, Tay J, Chris Statlander, and Harley Cameron versus Triangle of Madness and Mega Bad. So they haven't got to call them Mega Bad, but I always thought that was the best. That's the best one of combining names is Mega Bad, which is Megan Bain and Penelope Ford. And I want to shout out FW4W Online, that's Wrestling Observer's website. I had not seen this before. They might have done it in the past. I don't go to their site every day. They did, hey, these are the matches at Collision, and then click here for the spoilers. So I was able to see what matches were on the show without knowing the results of them. So
which
I
is hype.
Yes, which I get to go in Saturday spoiler-free. So I am very, very happy about that.
Yeah, that's awesome, honestly. That's so cool.
Yeah.
That we can go into Saturday and not be spoiled.
Yeah.
We love that.
I have no idea who won, because usually it used to be to get the matches of a tape Collision, you had to click on it, and it literally was going to tell you who won, and I just, you know, edited that part so you didn't know who won. But, yeah, they have it where you literally, you can't say you accidentally saw the spoilers, because
yes. You
have to click on the extra button to get to the spoilers.
We love that. And then in terms of September to Remember, which is going to be a 3-hour Dynamite, of course we have the Beast Mortos versus Mascara Dorada match for the AEW Unified Championship Tournament. So winner goes on to fight at All Out for the Unified title in the three-way match. And then I'm pretty sure that's the only match that we got announced.
That is the only match that we got announced. I went looking around, thought I had skipped over something.
Yeah, they're gonna announce some on Saturday. But
yeah, that's all we have. But it is a 3-hour show. I think it's in lieu, like, they're not being a Collision because of the pay-per-view, because pay-per-view is on Saturday. It's a 3-hour show, so it's going to be like a televised pay-per-view. It's a special episode.
Yeah.
So tell your people to make sure you watch that one.
Should be a fun one for sure. You have something written in here, by the way, which we can get into. Because, again, we touched on the top four matches on All Out this week. And I know you have something you want to bring to the table.
So because of news that's come, I've been muting and stuff. So somehow I missed this, and somebody brought it to me that they heard a rumor, that there was a rumor out there that FTR and Christian and Copeland were going to close the show.
Okay.
And so their match is a match right now. There's no stipulations. There's no dog collars. There's no tables. There's no ladders. There's no chairs. But Christian and Copeland are from Toronto. That is where they've always said they were from. I mean, I know Christian lives in Tampa. Now Copeland lives in North Carolina. But when they were coming through, they are from Toronto. Cope was even at WrestleMania 6. You know, so they are from the Toronto area. So this is a homecoming match. First time they've wrestled together in 20-something years. But again, no titles on the line or anything. So my friend asked me earlier, Dave, shout out to Finish Hill, who's not going to listen to this show. Shout out to him. He asked me, he's like, what do you think? And I was like, this was my first thought process. And I was like, so that would be Hangman wins the title at All In. They anoint him the guy, the face of the company, right? And then the next two pay-per-views that you have, he's not in the last closing match of the show. I felt that sent the belt a bad sign. Just as a more than, you know, just as a wrestling fan, I just thought that, like, and I was like, maybe I'm overthinking it. But, you know, the face of the company, you know what I mean? Versus another champion in the company.
To me, that's the main event. Like, I just, I can't see anything other than Hangman versus Kyle Fletcher, the world champion versus the TNT championship. And that's a way, too, to just be able to make the TNT champion, like, put him on the level. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, I just feel like it's got to be that. Like, I love Christian and Adam Copeland. I love FTR. I love them. And it's awesome that we're finally getting CNC in Toronto. Like, the fact that this hasn't happened is kind of insane. So it's awesome, 1,000%. But again, there's no stipulations at the time of recording. There's no titles on the line. Like, it just, it's got to be the world championship. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, that just to me, it just seems simple. I'm not against them making that the main event, just because it'd be awesome to see FTR get a pay-per-view main event, you know, for All Out. Like, that's a huge spot for them. 1,000%. I mean, I'm not against that. But I'm very traditional with it. I'm very simple where it's like, Hangman and Kyle Fletcher is the match of the two top guys right now, the world champion and the undercard champion. They are your main event. To me, it's simple, and I don't overcompensate it, or overcomplicate it, I should say.
Yes, I completely, you know, I would love to disagree. If FCR won the tag belts at Forbidden Door, like, you know, rumored or whatever, and it was for the tag team titles, absolutely main event it. If this was Edge and Christian's or Cope and Christian's final match, like Sting in North Carolina, close the show. But in essence, it's a grudge match. It's years in the making. It's all this stuff. It's my dream match. But when I'm trying to do sometimes, is take out what I want. Of course it should close the show to Floyd, the guy that profiles named FTR Express. Of course it should show close the show. Why not? These are two of the greatest tag teams of all time. But when you look at the card, everything on the line, all the stipulations, all that stuff, it's just like, yeah, the world title should go on last.
Yes.
And you're like, like I said, when Sting did it, it was his last match. That made sense that he went on last. But I don't know. Maybe they add something next week and whatever. But I just feel like they're just going to go in and have a really great wrestling match. Now, again, I want to be very clear. I don't want to be the person that has to follow them.
Oh, sure.
Dude, this isn't a tag match that they put together in 10 minutes. They're friends, you know. They were friends. They probably like, hey, what if this happens? You know, years ago, before FTR tried to take out Cope, years ago, they were like, hey, what if this happens? What if this happens? What if this happens? So, yeah, I hate to be the one that has to. They're four exceptional professional wrestlers. They wrestle a very similar, you know, like type of pace, you know, that works well for FTR when they have those type of matches. So it's going to be amazing. It's not going to be good. It's not going to be great. It's going to be amazing. But yeah, I don't know. I think there's more of an argument that it's the first match out of the show than it being the main event.
That, honestly, it being the opener would be fucking wild, I think.
So
I think that would be a really fun spot for it.
Yeah, I think there's more of an argument of that than it being the main event. Like I said, if you're trying to look at it from a somewhat impartial, like I am not for the most part impartial FTR. I have no problem admitting that. But if you're looking at it trying to be impartial, the world title goes on last unless there's a special reason.
Uh-huh. No, I'm right there with you. We got a couple quick things that we want to hit on before we close out this show. So, Floyd, you want to go ahead?
Yes, I want to go ahead. Paramount Skydance is preparing together a package to buy WBD. You're like, Floyd, why would you bring that up on this show? Well, Paramount just signed a big-ass deal with TKO UFC.
Mm-hmm.
And WBD owns, WBD is the televised partner of AEW.
Yep.
So, TKO and Paramount are in bed together. You know, we've seen the business practices of TKO.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I hope it doesn't affect AEW at all. But it's just
Who's to say this actually goes through, too?
Yeah, who's to say this actually goes through? But it's just one of those things. It's 100 miles away or whatever. I'm GPS saying, hey, this destination is in 100 miles. Just kind of look out, pay attention, whatever you do. I will do my best to keep you up to date on the show. Then there's sad news, and I like to sandwich like some sad news in there. Wardlow, when he came back, made his triumphant return at Forbidden Door, was beating up on Prince Nana, and somehow had a freak accident where he threw a regular-ass clothesline and tore his pec.
How does that fucking happen? Like, that's... I hate that. That's so fucking, like, oh my god, you can't be serious with that shit.
So, yeah, torn pecs, depending on the severity. Like, I remember when Cody did his, he tore his off the bone. So it was going to be, I think it was the longest, and he was out from May to the end of January. And that's like, so I'm hoping with how he tore it, it's not as bad as what Cody's is.
Right.
And maybe we can get him back at World's End or something like that. But apparently he was going to be the guy. Like, he was going to be in the title picture with Hangman and all of the, like, there's all sorts of rumors that he was in for a big push, and that all got deflated by his pec being torn. Our hearts and best wishes and healing energy is sent to Mr. Wardlow, and we look forward to having you back soon. He's always been one of the guys that I've loved, so hopefully he can get back, get healthy and get back when he is prepared.
Yes, I hate that so much for him. Like, it's awful. I hate that for him.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, every time I've met Wardlow or anything, he's always, like, the nicest guy and everything. Everybody seems to like him backstage, you know, when, you know, I'm talking about reports that you see online. Seems to be a good dude.
Yeah, absolutely.
So this sucks. He was gone for a while, so it sucks because he had a knee injury. That was jacked up. Then he went and recorded American Gladiators, and now he was finally back with AEW, finally healthy, finally ready for this big thing, and then, yeah. All right, and then the next thing is update on AEW's future plans from Australia. This is, again, from Wrestling Observer Figure 4 Online's website, F4W Online. AEW has a plan in place to return to Australia for years to come. Revealed on Wrestle Radio Australia earlier Thursday, the host noted that the AEW had signed a 5-year deal with TEG Sports last year to bring AEW action to the country. Based on the information provided, the deal will run through 2029. No other details were given. I'm saying it. I got that big of a window. I will be in Australia for one of these shows.
Ba-boom!
I think you have to come with me, Austin.
Because
if they do it, usually it's in February, which is non-football season.
It is non-football season. It is, I will say, it could be a thing that it can make happen.
Yeah, yeah, I mean,
possibly, but it can't be early February because I always got to keep the Super Bowl open just in case.
So
let me hope.
Yeah, it looks like it's Valentine's Day. They did on Valentine's Day last year. Looks like they're trying to do it again this year. And you know where they grow the Harley Camerons and the Rhea Ripleys of the world?
Yes, I'm aware.
Australia.
And again, that's a must for me and my little sister Sydney too. I mean, like, she needs to go to Australia at some point in her life too.
Now you want to know something? Like, I'm going to date you because it's gonna my reference for wanting to go to Australia is gonna come before you were born. There was this character in the '80s named Crocodile Dundee.
I know Dundee.
But yeah, but that movie came out like 10 years before you were born.
Oh, I know that. Yeah, but like, come on, like, give me a little bit of some breathing room.
Yes, and Kangaroo Jack, and you know, these are my Australian references. I've never really wanted to go to Australia, but literally everywhere AEW goes, I want to at least try to go there once. And for me, it would be, you know, February. It's a great time of year to go, and you know. It's literally 6 days after my wife's birthday. So I'm usually like, hey, you want to go to Australia? You know, kind of thing. And
yeah,
we can flip it. And our boy Sam. AEW match guy Sam lives in Australia. And we are destined. Me and him are destined to go to a show together. Whether it is Australia, whether it is here, we will make that happen. So I'm looking forward to it. But I was like, that was very positive news. Because it was like they announced in February, and I got Japan in January, and then I got, you know, All In next, you know, All In August. I was like, I can't do Australia next year. So the idea that they've given a bigger window for fans to go to Australia is pretty fucking awesome. Maybe I can save up and, you know, buy a little bit better than my uncomfortable economy ass seat that I would be buying anyway. Yeah,
again, that would be a dream for me to make that happen. So hopefully I can do that if possible. But, you know, I'm hyped that you would get the chance to do that for sure, though. Like, that's sick as hell. But, guys, I think that's going to do it, though, on this episode of All Things Elite. We appreciate all the support you guys give us, and we appreciate you guys sticking with us. If you enjoy the show, you know, continue to download it on YouTube Music, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you choose to listen to us on.
Hit that
rate,
subscribe,
review, subscribe.
Button.
Yes. Rate, review, subscribe. Don't miss a single episode and share us around with your friends, family, coworkers, whoever you wish. Follow us on Twitter at AT Elite Pod. You can also follow at Social Suplex, who make this show possible and have a bunch of incredible podcasts that you should 1,000% listen to and 1,000% check out. I am at Austin Sumowitz, SZUMOWICZ. Floyd is at Floyd Johnson Jr. on Twitter. Go to Chop Tees and get a t-shirt. Go to Social Suplex's newsletter and sign up for that. Links for the description. Links are in the description of the show. And I will pass it off to my buddy Floyd so he can take us home on this episode of All Things Elite.
And I'm going to take you home with a little bit more information that I forgot to document. Big Bill challenged Eddie Kingston to a match last week. Eddie Kingston said, "The money's right, the contract's been signed, just name the location, and you're a stupid, dumb bastard." So, that was this Instagram post. So,
hell yeah.
More than likely, we're getting Eddie Kingston versus Big Bill at, we were getting Eddie Kingston versus Big Bill probably at All Out. So, this show is even getting bigger and bigger as it goes. But I want to leave you with this. I want to leave you with this week. Don't end relationships and family and relationships over something you truly don't care about. If you care, I absolutely understand. But don't do it over shit you don't care about. And that's just real. I've just seen a lot over the last couple of days. And you know, just it has made me somewhat sad to be human. But then I realize I have Austin, I have Jackie, I have JR, I have Tiffany, and I have the Social Suplex group, and we all have discussions, and we can talk, and we can peacefully and respectfully disagree, and that is my belief that the human kind will be okay. The people that are in my life are the reason I know we're good. So, like I said, protect your relationships, protect your family, protect your loved ones. Disagree. You know, disagree, agree, talk, enjoy. But, you know, Don't end relationships over stupid shit. It's just dumb. So with that, I will leave you how I always leave you. Whether it's home, work, or school, always do your best to be elite.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply, in-app only.